Good evening, everyone. Do you remember Pastor Scott in prayer for the Lord's touch, for refreshing strength, just new strength, vitality, amen, for Father to just revive and refresh him? And Pastor Tony was asking prayer for Sister Karen, just some of her pneumonia stuff she battles with and the bronchial battles she has, those of you who know her, but without knowing the details, just remember her in your prayers. For the Lord to touch her, and let's continue to believe for the rest of us who've been still looking to Father and trusting. Amen. His word will not return void, but it shall accomplish that for which he sent it, man. And it's sure to 1,000 generations. Psalm 119 says it's settled in heaven. He watches over it to what? To perform it. Amen. And we rest and are persuaded. That's what faith is. Faith is persuaded that what God has promised, he is also able. Can you say able? He's got the power, right? Able to what? Perform. And then in true faith, we're able to what? Rest and cease from our own work. So now we're letting God work in us both to will, as we heard Sunday, both to will and to what? Do. So we're laboring. Yeah, there's diligence, but it's God working in us. And that rest, and I speak it upon your life tonight. If you're not in that rest, just receive that peace and just welcome the Lord. Welcome his Holy Spirit to come and just, Lord, I need you. Just open your heart. Tell him where you need him. Tell him where you're hurting. Tell him where you're off track. Here he knows, right? And just invite him. Welcome him to come and help any area you're in need. And he pities his children. He cares. He desires to help you. He created you for his glory and his purpose. And he's a redeemer. He didn't just redeem you at the time you accepted him. He ever lives to make intercession for you. He never ceases to be your redeemer. He's delivered you and he continues to deliver. He's forgiven you at Calvary and he continues as a faithful and merciful high priest in that role of intercession. What a faithful God. Amen. It's because the Lord's mercies, Lamentation says, that we're not what? Through the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed. And if the Lord were to mark iniquities, right, who would stand? Aren't you thankful tonight that we're forgiven? We're the redeemed of the Lord, and the scripture says we're supposed to say so. Amen. None of us will be put to shame. Because if God's for us, nobody can be against us. They can try. But if we're not right with God and he opposes us, then it doesn't matter who's for you when God's against you. Aren't you thankful that we have his favor upon our lives? That's what grace really is all about. God's favor. The perfect manifestation of grace is Jesus, the just for the unjust. The just died for the unjust that he might bring us to God. He played that role of mediator, the perfect mediator between a holy, sinless, perfect God who could not be approached without atonement for man's rebellion and sin and fallen nature. And Jesus paid the price, paid in full. I mean, when he said it's finished, there's nothing else we can add to it. What a fellowship. In Psalm 91, precious verse here. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. And then it goes on, it says, because his compassion's what? Toward who? Toward you and me, right? His mercies are new. How often? Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. It's good for a man. It's good to wait upon the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you, waiting on God can be tough at times, but if you just wait and let him have his way, he'll bring things to pass for his glory and your good. Amen. And that's sometimes one of the hardest things, beloved, as you all know, is just waiting and letting God work, waiting on God's timing. And it's a great thing to wait on God and let him order your steps. Let him bring to pass, even sometimes in things that we get hasty and anxious about, that are not bad things in themselves, but we just get caught up. It was on my heart tonight to just encourage you tonight. Don't get caught up in the natural. This is not a time to be caught up in the natural, whatever that is. And that, instead of me going through each and every different areas that we can be talking about, don't get caught up in the natural. And what you're doing in the natural, stay in tune with God. We're in the world, we're not of it. It says using the world in Corinthians, but not abusing it. Don't get caught up. The principle is don't get entangled in it. When it talks about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ in 2 Timothy, it talks about not being entangled. So what does it mean? It's time again to do what? To let the Lord show us what weights might be there, what's trying to weigh you down, and it's time to lay aside every what? Lay aside, put aside, cast off the care, the weight, whatever that area is, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us if we allow it to, right? And then what is the key? Looking unto? You're laying aside that weight because you're looking unto Jesus, and as his bride, as a living stone, you as an individual, us as a corporate body and the body of Christ, as a living stone, he is preparing his people for his soon coming. He's in the process of beautifying your life through pruning, chastening, reproof, encouragement. He's building you up to fulfill your ministry in the body of Christ, which is a ministry of building one another up, speaking the truth to one another, right? He's beautifying his bride to make her ready for his soon coming. So what we want to lay aside are the hindrances to being beautified, laying aside every weight and the sin. Ephesians, talks about the spot, the blemishes, and the wrinkles. God cleansing and washing his church, the Lord Jesus says, through the washing of the water of his word. And he said, you're already clean through the word I've spoken to you. But that washing process, so the things that are hindering us from being beautified, was just really sensing during time of prayer this week that the urgency that the Lord's been putting on pastor's heart and just the urgency the Holy Spirit's been bringing to us, that the time is short, the night's coming when no man can work. But not only is time short in reaching souls and making things right with one another, anything that's out of order, God wants to make it right. Remember that psalm? To him who orders his conversation aright, I will show the salvation of God. So things that are out of order, things that aren't right in our hearts, in any relationship, any breach. We heard that one utterance. If there's any unforgiveness or any type of grudge, you know, sometimes they're not things that have manifested. They're just hidden in the heart. So those you deal with before Father. Father will let you know if you need to go to someone, because if there hasn't been a transgression, it's really not a good idea to go to them and let them know that whatever was going on within you, if it didn't manifest. You don't have to go if you sensed or if you didn't sin against them, go to Father. If you sinned against them, though all sin is against Father, you still got to go make it right with them. You can't just say, I confess it to God. You got to go to Father, then go to them, right? And it's not worth holding on to anything. Just we got to lighten up the things in the natural that try to weigh us down, that we get caught up in. It just, the eyes, like Pastor John's reading from Ephesians 1, the eyes of our understanding being what? Enlightened. It was talking about the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. So just, Father, help us to be sensitive. Let us not be like Hebrews. It says, by this time you ought to be teachers. And then he says, but you're what? You're dull of hearing at this point, and you need milk instead of meat. And the milk versus the meat just came down to, the meat was those who take what they hear and apply. And to him that has or applies, more shall be given. Take what you have, beloved, and use it. There's been a lot deposited into your account, into your heart, into your life. Take what God's put in you and use it for the glory of God. That doesn't mean make things happen in the natural. Use it. Use it in relating to one another and reaching lost souls in your testimony. The power that we've received, the spirit of power from the Lord, right? Love and a sound mind. We haven't received a spirit of fear, amen? In verse 14 of Psalm 91, it says, because he has set his love, I love this, because he has set his love upon me. So as I was sharing, and I'll come back to this, I realized I didn't finish what I was trying to say. The urgency of the hour. The urgency in looking up. When I say urgency, just the need for a real inner soul, spiritual soulical awakening, that we wouldn't be spiritually asleep in this hour. We would be awakened to righteousness. Like it says in Psalm, 1 Corinthians 15, awake to righteousness. Thou that sleepest, Ephesians says, awake, arise and shine, Isaiah says, for your light has come. This is not a time to be in a stupor spiritually or to be bound by apathy. And man, we all have to war with apathy. But there is a way out. It's not just going, lamenting that we're there. There's a way out. Jesus is knocking. Whenever we're there or we're moving in our hearts back, we're drawing back or getting just caught up in things where we're just built feeding the natural man and neglecting the spiritual man. And we're not even trying to do things against the Lord. We're just neglecting the Lord, and we get drained spiritually, and we just need to get back before the Lord's presence. You know how refreshing that is when you get back before His presence and you open His Word and it begins to refresh and illuminate and cleanse, and you just get recalibrated spiritually. Amen. Time to just be awakened in this hour, and no time to lack sobriety and just be weighed down. Our trust is in the grace of God. We're the redeemed of the Lord, but there's just that need to be about that diligent. You know, when you look at men like Daniel and his prayer life and the prayers that were answered, you also saw a man who really set his face to seek God. It wasn't about works. It was about love, right? It was about faith. It was about wanting to know God more. It wasn't about just getting prayer answered. It was about wanting to know God more. And as we know Him more, our prayers become more what? Effectual. Because our prayers are being birthed out of the communion of abiding in Him and His words abiding in us. And we need, if we ever needed effectual prayer, it's in this hour. Can't trust in the natural. We are in great need. We have so much naturally. There is such a great danger to trust in what we have, in the natural. The conveniences, the sciences, the medical advancements. They're even trying to come up with all these different studies to prolong man's existence and say that they're coming to come up with a thing where man can live forever. They're wanting to just defy God. And Father is just wanting us to really be a people, as we've been hearing from Pastor over and over again, who know the miraculous, who know the supernatural, who know what it is to walk in the Spirit. Not looking for the spectacular and missing the supernatural, but just that walk in the Spirit. And you know what? It takes discipline. It really does. It takes temperance. It takes right decisions. It takes a fear of God, a healthy fear of God in our hearts that causes us to say no to things that are lawful in themselves, but not expedient at that time. It takes temperance to say no to yourself over things that are okay to do, but the wrong time for you, when you need to get refreshed and you're run down and now you're running to the next thing. And we got to be a people who can say no to ourselves. And look at men like Daniel. Look at men like Daniel, and you look at how busy he was in his roles of oversight in that kingdom, but he always made time to be with his God. He made time. He didn't compromise from the beginning with the different dietary things and not compromising with the king's dainties. And you read about him, and it's such a provocation because it uses words like he was of an excellent spirit. And he was found what? Faithful. And he was blameless. And they couldn't find fault with him and his character. Just remembering that our lives are living epistles, and in our home we're living epistles. And when we go out into the highways and byways, community, the stores, our jobs, our lives are living epistles. There's power in preaching this gospel because it is the power of God and salvation. Amen. And then the power of a transformed life, that when you are speaking that word, they can see what you're talking about. Amen. And your practical living. Man, the time is short. And the Lord is coming. And Satan's doing everything he can to just make us lack sensitivity to that. Where you just, if you need refreshing, you can just go back through Hebrews 3 and 4. You can even look at Hebrews 2, and it talks about not neglecting and appreciating what God has done in this great salvation and the need to exhort one another. But it keeps that recurring phrase, today, if you'll hear his voice, right? Sufficient for today, right? We get anxious too many times about tomorrow. That's borrowing trouble because there's no grace to live out tomorrow. It's not here yet. And in faith, you're able to live with God and commune and draw on his grace in the now. And just being aware that that battle to run to and fro, that battle of anxiety, that oppression of the enemy to make you anxious and get you caught up in the natural, it's a satanic ploy. It says in Daniel, people in the last days are going to be running to and fro. You ever seen like what happens with cockroaches when the lights go on? You ever been to a place like that? I don't know if you ever seen that many cockroaches. If you ever been to a house like that and you turn the lights on and they just scurry. And it just seems like that's how society is in a lot of ways. Just running to and fro. Don't let that spirit drive you. Right? We're talking about God's rest. And that peace of God that passes understanding and that peace of God that's in our hearts. And that we're talking about the discipline, but that discipline comes from the Holy Spirit. Because one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-discipline, temperance. That's what temperance is, meekness and temperance. So needed in this hour. And there's so many believers that are lacking sobriety. And one of the, if you want to be stirred up, not the condemnation, but just provoke to love and good works, go back to the parable of the 10 virgins and read how the 10 of them were considered virgins and how they all had the same ability, and then look at the different choices they made. They all had their lamps burning. They had oil in their vessels. And just look at the neglect and the results. People who were, I would say it's talking to people who see themselves as saved, have a profession of faith, and have probably known the Lord more than likely. That's the indicator in that parable. Because he set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. And I'll set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I love that. Man, I will call upon the Lord, for he is worthy, the psalm says, to be praised. I know we sing that, but it's also a psalm. He's worthy to be praised. That was another thing. How many of you remember Sunday an utterance that was given in here? And I might not get the details of it, but it was talking about God forgiving us for not giving him the praise that he deserves. And it's not just what comes out of our lips. It's our lives and our heart. But it also talked about praise. Do you remember that utterance Sunday, you guys? That was something that was just being stirred up in me again this week. And I was just meditating on that. God being enthroned in Psalm 22 on our praises. You know, one of the renderings says he inhabits our praise. But if he's enthroned on it and it's not there, then what is there for him to be enthroned on? And I just, what I'm trying to say is praise cannot just be, you know the word muse, M-U-S-E, musing? You can muse on the Lord like in your heart without talking. Amen. You can be still and be quiet before the Lord. It even says in Psalm 4, meditate, be quiet in your own bed, just meditate. But there's so much Bible truth about expressing praise. Expressing. And I just feel like the Lord put a strong impression on me to just, even it wasn't really the message tonight, but it is, because whatever the Lord puts on your heart's the message, right? I'm not trying to like live up to a title that I give. I drive them crazy. I get my title when I'm done. But I don't mind if someone has title when they start. That's okay too. It just depends on how we're wired and how God makes us and gifts us. Amen. But Father wants, and it's not that we don't praise, but just think about it. He inhabits the praise. So it becomes an environment for visitation. It becomes a spiritual environment of faith and praise and thanksgiving that causes God to descend and be pleased, if I may use the phrase, in the aroma of that praise and thanksgiving. Even when the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were telling him, tell your disciples as he was coming in that triumphal entry to be quiet. And he said, if they get quiet, I'll cause the rocks. Even through the mouth of babes, he's ordained strength and praise. But just want to encourage you, I really believe that that's a thing that Father has, and it's true, like in that utterance, it's not limited to lip service. But the Bible doesn't do a lot of justifying when it talks about praise. It just says God is, our Lord is great and he's greatly to be praised. And it doesn't say check your heart before you do it and overanalyze. It just says he's worthy. And I just think there needs to be a greater freedom in our lives. And it needs to be, it is part of rejoicing and an overflow, but it's also just a thanksgiving for our salvation. It's really an appreciation for our redemption. It's an appreciation that God dwells in us and he hasn't left us or forsaken us. He's been good to us all of our days. So praise, and when it's time to praise and worship, we're a people who are very dependent on lyrics and music. And there's so many songs that sound more appealing to us than other songs. And I get it. I understand. I'm the same way. But I'm not even talking about that part. I'm talking about like in between. I'm talking about when we come to prayer nights. I'm talking about when they're, like I said, in between songs. It could be in the 30 minutes. And there's nothing wrong. We're not doing anything wrong. This isn't a rebuke that we're doing wrong about anything. There's nothing wrong with being quiet. Nothing wrong with reading the word. Nothing wrong with being still and seeking God, being quiet and seeking God. I'm the same way. But I just think there's something more to the fruit of our lips giving thanks. Just glimpsing how big he is. I wonder if praise is in direct proportion to the revelation and communion and how much you're experiencing God. How many of you think praise is birthed out of communion? How many of you believe that? How about the freedom to express our praise? What do you think that comes out of? You think it's just personality? We know better than that, right? What do you think? Do you think we're too self-conscious and not God-conscious enough? I'll put that out for you. Are we too concerned about being too loud because our neighbor might seem disorderly? Or is it not about any of that? Because if it was in there, it would come out. If it's in there, is it going to come out? Or can it be in there and be suppressed? What do you think? Or is it some all of that? None of that's the issue. What's the issue? Great is our God and greatly to be praised. And are we giving him the praise he's worthy of? The praise he's due? The praise that he requires? Praise, thanksgiving is an aspect of our worship. It's something that God wants us to desire, to do from delight, to do from our hearts. But there's also a lot of commands about praising God. And of course, it's not just something God goes, you're going to praise me. I mean, it's just, how could we not? As a result of delight yourself in the Lord, Psalm 37 says, delighting in God, communing with God, being in fellowship, your spirit gets touched in his presence, and that joy that's in his presence. You know, in his presence, that fullness of joy, your heart gets touched. And then there's like the rejoicing is like a regurgitating. The rejoicing is part of the praise. It's part of the joy of the Lord. It's part of the thankfulness just for who God is in my life. And maybe you need to get the five pieces of gum out of your mouth so you can praise God. I don't know if that's what the deal is. But I do know that we're like fidgety and we got to be doing our thing and our piece of gum and this. We all got our things, right? And there's nothing wrong with any of that. So I'm not trying to condemn anyone. But I would be happier if you wouldn't leave wrappers in here. Just out of respect for the house of God. And some people just do it because they are not aware of it. And then some people just don't care. And I just don't think it's a right reflection on who God is in our midst and what the sanctuary represents. Thank God for Harold. He's in here cleaning all the time, picking it up. But I just can't walk by something and see it and not pick it up. And I think that's just something that we should all be the same way. That really wasn't part of the message, but it was a good commercial. So yeah, I just give some thought and prayer to that maybe as an individual and just go, you know, where am I at? And it can begin in your quiet times at home, and maybe you're freer there, maybe you're the same. But just give some prayerful consideration to what I'm sharing, as we heard that utterance again Sunday, and it's not like this is the first time we've heard this, but just practically, how to move from hearing it to something changing in your heart and how you apply your faith in those areas of thanksgiving and praise. And just asking the Lord, making it a matter of prayer. Lord, I see what your word says. I'm keen on what the word says. We know the verses. What about my life? How can I be freer in expressing? It's not about being demonstrative, but there's nothing wrong with being demonstrative. There can be intensity. There can be tears. An overwhelming gratitude for the blood of Jesus Christ. We heard about that a couple times in a song and an utterance, and both of the utterances refer to the blood of Jesus. But just how thankful are we for the access, right? And we heard Pastor Tony last Wednesday talk about over-familiarity, and he was a little bit more focused on in regards to the gifts that are here, Pastor and the other men of God that are here, and it was a blessing, and Pastor John's ministry was a blessing. But what about just over-familiarity with the blood of Jesus? With the access that we have to Jesus, with who he is in our lives. That's the greatest fault, is being, because if we become over-familiar there, then it can go into other areas. And if we straighten it out as it relates to God and our thankfulness, our appreciation for the forgiveness of our sins, because they weren't only forgiven, they're still being forgiven. Past, present, and future. They've been atoned for. That doesn't mean I'm not culpable to confess sin and acknowledge it if it comes up in my life, but it's been atoned for. If I have nothing else to think of, what I'm looking, what is there to be thankful for? Jesus, the cross, his resurrection, his soon coming. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And because, again, before I move on, because he has set his love upon me, verse 14, because he has set his love, because you've set your praise. You know, in Psalm 57, it says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Or it could be the word steadfast. My heart is fixed on the Lord. Your heart needs to be fixed in such a way where other attractions and other likes and other trinkets, other things in this life can't seduce your heart away, because your heart's fixed on Jesus. And that's how backsliding takes place. That's how we lose our first love, is we begin to love something else more than him. We begin to want to see and be involved in something else more than the delight of being in this word where the prophet said, I found it and I ate it and it became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Men like Job, who said, I treasured his words, treasured, listen to the word, treasured his words more than my necessary food. I think we're not there frequently, but we need to be. Because man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And you look at the sin that's abounding, and we know that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. But part of that grace working in us is what Psalm 119 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You see, because grace is not just favor that doesn't operate toward obedience. One of the renderings of grace is divine favor, divine enablement. It's a favor from God to be able to walk out, not earn, walk out what he's gifted you to walk out, as we were hearing Sunday. Not working for your salvation, working out your own salvation that's been given you as a free gift. Because he has set his love upon me. Father, thank you. You've been so good to me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I'll set him on high because, and I like to set him on high. I also believe that this is part of that highway of holiness. When your love is set on him, he sets you on high, and the attacks of the enemy are coming. But you're in that communion in heavenly places in Christ. You're like walking in that communion, and you're able to see the plots and the schemes and the subtleties of the evil one. He comes as an angel of light, but when your love is set on the Lord, and you're in pursuit and your heart's fixed, you're at that place where, like Jesus said, the enemy comes and he finds what? No place. Because when we're in that realm where we're out of faith, where we're more caught up in the natural, we're out of faith, or we're just trying to hold on, we're maybe in a lukewarm state, we're just vulnerable. And every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own what? Lust. And lust is only held in check when we walk in the Spirit, right? Then we don't fulfill those lusts that are always there. We don't fulfill them because we walk and we live in the Spirit, which is a walk of faith, a walk of obedience. Man, we need our spirits awakened and in tune with Father. Our spirits to be stirred in this hour, to stir our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, our hearts to be stirred, to see the need to fill our hearts with the Word, to take time in our prayer language, to take time to pray and fast. You know, the areas of unbelief that were in the disciples that were based on them vying for position, and they weren't able to get that one boy delivered. And when they asked him, he said it was because of your what? Because of your unbelief. And this kind of unbelief only comes out. There's some areas in our lives like that unbelief, or that lust, or whatever the area is, covetousness. It doesn't matter what the area is. There are certain things that become a matter of abstinence to really get more time in building your spirit up to get victory in that area. And the victory's been provided at Calvary. It's in the name of Jesus. It's in the redemptive work. It's through His resurrection. It's already been provided, as we heard Sunday. Everything that pertains to life and godliness has been provided. Every spiritual blessing in Christ has been provided, Ephesians says. But it's in Christ. And if we move away from abiding, all the promises of God in Him are yea and amen to the glory of God by us. But it's in Him. So what do we need? We need to get immersed in Him, right? In Him we live and move and have our being. So the answer, it sounds so simple, is you get back abiding in Him. That's where our prayer life gets back on track. Our walk gets back on track. Our marriage gets back on track. When my marriage with Jesus is right, it's going to be well with your soul. And it'd be nice to just be walking there 24/7. There's coming a day when all these battles we heard Sunday again are going to be put down and we're going to see Him face to face. Glory to God. And this corruption, hallelujah, is going to put on incorruption. He'll set you on high because you've known His name. You know, there's a lot of things that can be said about just the redemptive names that are, depending on how you view it, but seven basic names. But just communing with God. If you turn quickly over to Psalm 9. I do love that one statement. I don't remember who made it. Since our God is worthy of praise, we want our praise to be worthy of our God. Shout to the Lord so many times. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You know what praise does is it elevates God. And it makes you the creature and Him the creator. What praise does is it gets your eyes off of you, off of how you feel, what you want to think about, how you want to assess how you feel, you know, what's your spiritual gate, and you just begin to make God big. That's what magnifying. It's just a simple way, simple rendering is making big. Exalting, magnifying, extolling the Lord. It's just making Him big. And what it does is it focuses our hearts in faith, in obedience, in honor, in glorification of who the Lord is. We just begin to make Him big. Those are environments where God begins to move. I think we need to make Him bigger than we've done. We need to forget about ourselves and how we feel and what we want to think about and what we're going to do after service and what needs to still be done on the checklist or tomorrow. And man, just have that heart that's fixed and just get caught up in praising God like we've never known. It says praise is comely for the saints. It's right. Psalm 9. Ooh. New Bible tonight. Here you go. verse 10, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. And just encouraging again tonight in that area of trust, that's where the rest is. The verse you're familiar with in Isaiah, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind... We're hearing a Sunday about loving the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. Whose mind is stayed, the warfare in the mind, whose mind is stayed on thee. And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. And when you seek him, that's the time where you're really able to refresh and renew your trust and your reliance. Because think about it. You're only going to be as strong as strong in God. Like it says in Ephesians, strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You're only going to be as strong as you are reliant. His strength is made perfect in our reliance, in our humility, in our dependence. Right? Let the weak say, I'm strong, and he gives his grace to. The humble is the needy one. The guy who sees himself as helpless and can do nothing without him. That's a simple rendering of reliance. I'm helpless. That's poor in spirit. There's nothing that I can do to assist God's agenda. There's no intrinsic innate righteousness within me. There's nothing I in myself can offer God. But I can be available and say, God, have your way. I'm yours. I belong to you. I love this. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Over to 2 Peter. On your way there, you can make a quick stop at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We heard it Sunday. I repeated it. Just get your eyes on it again. On the way to 2 Peter chapter 1, look at the power of this verse, the blessedness of it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every, I love that word, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, chosen by God. Chosen by God, accepted in the beloved. And it goes on, it says it in your life, if you look at verse 11, he's going to work all things according to the counsel of his will. You've been predestined to be conformed to his image. And there's a need to endure to the end. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. But you're also, as you need to endure and be diligent and be obedient, there's also God working in you. For that to work in you, God working in you to endure, right? In your patience, you possess your soul, but God's working in you. It's not by might nor by power, by his spirit. And his spirit is in us, bearing witness with our spirit, carrying us along is what the Holy Spirit's doing. Undergirding us with strength. And again, I was talking earlier about the prayer language, but it says in Jude, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, doing what? Praying. I just want to encourage you tonight. I'm not sure how you're doing, but your prayer language, you need to use it. It's a prayer language. It was part of the promise of the Father when he filled you with the Holy Spirit. The way to keep that refreshing and kindling that fire of receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit that Joel promised that God would pour his Spirit out on all flesh. Part of keeping that stirred and keeping yourself built up and fanning that flame is using the prayer language. You got to understand, it's a satanic ploy to shut down your prayer language. It's not just you don't feel like it. It's satanic. Because it's building you up on your most holy faith. And when the Son of Man returns, will he really find faith? There's no way to please God without faith, to just live by faith, right? So if Satan can help keep you from being built up in your most holy faith, Corinthians talks about being built up and that when you pray in the Spirit, you're giving thanks well. You're blessing God. You're speaking mysteries, the word mysteries, hidden truths. In Acts, when they heard them speaking in their own languages, do you remember what they were speaking? The wonderful works of God. And so when we're not speaking in tongues and we've been given the gift, what are we doing? We're not stirring up the gift that's within us. That's more of a stirring, not to beat you over, to beat you down if you haven't been doing it, but just take it for what it is. Use that gift. And Satan will attack you. You're just making noise. He'll tell you, he'll just whisper. If you ever heard the voice, you're just making noise. How do you know you're just not just doing this yourself? And how do you know this is the Holy Spirit? You got to pull that stuff down, man. Are there times where it seems to flow more than other times? Yes. Can everybody say, you all know what to talk about? Yes. Are there times where you've kind of been doing it and it just sounds like you're making noise? Yes. I've been there. I've just felt like at times, okay, just be quiet. You're doing this now. Just be quiet and see what the Holy Spirit wants to do right now. Where I felt like the Lord told me, just be quiet right now. And just, I'm talking to you. By the way, another little side note here. You know, when we pray, we normally imagine what we're saying to God and talking to Him about. And I know we're well taught here. But I just want to encourage you, take time to listen. He speaks. I think sometimes we get out every last word we wanted to say. And Father just about to speak and we're like, pew. Just get quiet. If you're not comfortable getting quiet yet, find comfort in getting quiet. If you're having trouble getting your mind quiet enough, then persevere through it. He's given you the weapons to get through that. I'm not saying it's easy to have the victory, but the victory's yours. Don't accept that you can't find that place. I'm not wired that way. My mind's all... Don't come up with your reasons. Really make it a matter of prayer. Bring it to Jesus and cry out for His help. Cry out for His help. And tell Him you want the victory. And acknowledge that you've been struggling in that area and you want to get quiet. And you know He's speaking. And a sheep hear His voice. And it's a still small voice. And it's a voice that is real on the inside of you. And it never disagrees with the Word. It's not woo-woo. It's practical. It just could be a quickening in your spirit of a particular verse, something you've been meditating on or heard in service. Just being sensitive. If our minds are just totally inundated with all the natural and we're not taking time to get refreshed and pull some of that stuff down and get quiet, it's going to be hard for you to hear when He's speaking to you. And I'll tell you, it's a dangerous thing if you're in this hour right now and you can't hear God. That's not a good idea, to be in this hour and your place where you can't hear from God. We can hear from God, but how are you doing in hearing from God? Get yourself in that secret place, close the door, and then when you get in there and you got the door closed and you got your place with God, now you got to close out other things that are on the inside of you. Right? It's one thing to get yourself in the prayer closet. It's another thing to tap and be in that place. But here it is again. If you can just rely on He made access. He's given you the access. So if you focus less on how you're going to get there and go, you know what? He has brought me into the Holy of Holies by His blood. When I trusted in Calvary, He has brought me to that place. Now, Father, I want to access, because sometimes we're trying to access and have quality time, but we're not depending on the blood of Jesus. It's like we're analyzing it and we're straining sometimes in our minds. And we're His children, man. And we can just come in, the Spirit of God's in our hearts, crying out, longing for Him, longing to be at the feet of Jesus, longing to worship and pray. That's the most comfortable place your spirit wants to be, is in the presence of God. That's the most natural thing for your spirit man, is to be in communion with God. So, blessed with every spiritual blessing, 2 Peter, chapter 1. That doesn't mean you sit there and get quiet and then you start listening for voices. You can't overcomplicate it. It's just as easy as you open the Word and the Word just speaks to your heart and comforts you. You've heard from Father. Amen. So again, the Holy Spirit is always leading us in the truth and His Word. The Lord's Word is truth. Amen. We're looking at this in chapel this week in verse 2 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How many of you could go for that right now? A good multiplication and dose of grace and peace. Anyone? This is spoken already. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. I took some time this week and really, because I read over that to get to some of these other verses, and I just stopped at it and started going, yeah, I want to drink from this verse right here. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to believe this right now, and I'm taking this before Father in communion with Him, because it says through the, in the knowledge of God. So in His presence is where you tap this grace and peace, right? So you hang out with Him and it works. As His divine power, verse 3, has given to us, notice the word given, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and then look at this, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. So again, this divine power that's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness is going to be known where? Through the knowledge of where? Through the knowledge of Him. So again, you got to get into His presence where these nuggets, where this spirit of intercession, where Jesus gives you a piece of what He wants you praying about, things that are on His heart. You're in communion with Him, man. Your prayer life for people's illness goes to another level. Now it's effectual. What you're interceding about becomes directed by the Holy Spirit. It says even in Romans 8, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself helps us in our weakness. So it's not saying we don't know, you stop there. It's saying we don't know in ourselves, but the Spirit helps or aids us in our weakness or in our ignorance. Because He knows, the Spirit knows, Jesus knows what the mind of the Spirit is. And you're just in those times in your prayer for lost souls, for open doors, and how you get that opportunity as you've been hanging out with God and praying for a door to reach the lost. And it just becomes one of those divine times, man. You've been praying about it, and Father opens that door, and everybody in here knows what I'm talking about. But how many of you think we could use some more of that? Some more of these supernatural opportunities that we've been praying about. Called us by glory and virtue, by which, verse 4, have been given to us exceedingly great, and then look at this, precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, all this that's been given to you, but for this very reason, giving all diligence. Now here's where he's coming. He's saying, hey, look, this has all been given to you. It's available to you in the knowledge of God. But He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, and you'll seek Him and find Him when you search for Him with all your heart. And He said, if you draw near to Me, I'm going to draw near to you. And He said, come unto Me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'm knocking at the door of your heart, and I want to dine with you. And when I'm calling you to dine, if you want to be off playing, what you're doing in playing might not be wrong or sinful in itself, but if you're playing instead of communing, you're going to reap what you sow. Right? You're not going to be as full. You're not going to be as an effective witness. You're not going to have a life that's overflowing with praise. You're too run down with the natural. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to this faith I've given you, because it's a gift. Add to your faith, and faith comes by hearing, right? Back to the word audience again. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. And if these things are yours, and, I like this phrase here, and what? Abound. So we, Father's saying, look, I'm not okay with you stagnating or at any point going, okay, taken enough ground. I've grown enough. Father doesn't want us to step back and give ourselves credit and then become passive or apathetic or lacking pressing toward the mark or striving to enter in at the straight and narrow gate. See, that's not works. That's Bible. That's following Jesus. That's how he walked. That's walking in his steps. And there's just a tendency to let up in all of our lives. The most difficult thing is to get it working and then see it working consistently. But I just want to encourage you tonight. You're not the only one who fails being consistent. We all have some of that. But just trust him for more consistency. Make it a matter of prayer to take it one day at a time. Even we can get anxious within the day about other parts of the day. Just learn to walk. Practice his presence right where you are. You and where you are at that part of the day, that's where he has you. He doesn't have you somewhere else. So be where he has you and draw on his grace, walk in his presence, commune with him right where you are in what you're doing at that time, even if you don't like it. And being hasty and self-willed and wanting to get to the next thing when God has us. And those practical areas where he has you, that's not just natural and then you're going to get that out of your waist and go do what you want. And that's going to be where God has you there. So don't be cursing them while you're doing the dishes. I'm not saying you do, but I'm just saying. You could be doing something you don't like and it doesn't change the presence, the communion, walking with them. The sensitivity to him. You could be doing something you dislike and Father puts joy in your heart to begin to pray for a brother in this fellowship who's in need. Someone you've already witnessed to and you're asking Father for that soul to be harvested in his kingdom. If these things are yours and abound, look at this, you'll neither be barren nor unfruitful, look at this, in the what? In the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who lacks these things is what? Short-sighted or blind and cannot what? Look, it says, my translation says you're short-sighted even to blindness. When these attributes that are supposed to be the result of walking with God that have already been given to us in the relationship with him, when these areas aren't working, it says that number one, we become barren. The battle in verse 8 of being barren and unfruitful and short-sighted or even to blindness. And then look at this, has forgotten that he was what? He's saying that these things aren't working because we have forgotten that we've been cleansed from our own sins. Doesn't that go back to the point I was making? We lose our thankfulness for Calvary. We lose our thankfulness for being accepted in the beloved. Our thankfulness for being forgiven. We no longer see ourselves as the debtor. We don't see ourselves like Pastor John described that slave and that thing is hammered through their ear and they're bond slaves. And owned by that master forever. And he was given that description of how we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. When we take our lives back, this is what begins to happen. When we think we have a right to choose anything against the word of God and not see it as sin and not be convicted of it. And just be aware. I mean, you already are. This is an hour where people are trying to do away with conviction. They're calling conviction and messages that make people uncomfortable, they've now termed those areas legalism and works. And this is a gospel of grace. And they're trying to remove the message in the church to the believers of repentance and the fear of God and denying oneself and taking up the cross. And men who said, I've chastened myself with fasting and I waited. You look at Daniel and again, he refers to a prophecy from Jeremiah. And you've heard pastors teach so well on that. And he sees what was written by the prophet Jeremiah. And he didn't just sit back and go, oh, this has already been spoken. It's going to come to pass. It was going to come to pass, but he set his heart in agreement with it. And it says, man, he fasted. He chastened his soul. He was really committing himself to be a part of what Father wanted to bring to pass. And I guess the question we got to ask ourselves at times is, are we doing it with all of our hearts? Like when we come to praise and worship, is all of our heart and all of our soul, all of our love, that time of praise and worship, it's not about music. It's not about these people here doing their thing and then we just follow along. It's about me coming in here and expressing who Jesus is to me. Who is he to me? What has he done for me? You get a hold of that and really believe it, it's going to be hard to just sit there and sit there and just wait for that song that makes you feel like you can really touch the throne of God when it comes. And there are those songs. They're great. I love them too. I got my favorites. Like if I have a song list, I got my favorites. I got the ones I like too. So I'm no different. So much has been given to us through the finished work of Jesus. How much of it are we tapping into by the willingness of our lives, by the faith that we're adding diligence? I love how it says, that's how my rendering is, but also for this very reason, with all that we've heard, look at verse 4, you've been given exceedingly great and precious promises that by these you might be partakers. I mean, what else can you say? Partakers of the divine nature. Our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. The Father of lights who's given us every good and every perfect gift. Everything we need to finish this race. Everything we need to do what He asks us to do. To be who He called us to be, like Him. And though it's a maturing, sanctifying process, He's just calling us to be fully extended. To just not hold back our lives, to be poured out, sold out, and just totally sold out and seeing ourselves after we've done everything we've been commanded, then say, we are. We're not even worthy to call ourselves unprofitable servants, I don't believe, if we don't, after we've done everything we've been commanded, then say. And we're not owed, we're privileged. That's what I was talking about earlier, the sense of privilege to be a child of God. Who's more blessed than you on this earth? What is it you think you're missing or lacking? Is it something in your natural man? What is it that you think you're missing that you believe from God's perspective you need to make you complete, content, settled about who He made you, who He called you to be, what He has for you, where He placed you? What do you lack that He hasn't given you? We don't lack anything, amen? But we walk around like we're lacking something. Internally, we think we lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I let Him rule and reign over me. I shall not want. That means desire or covet anything else. Those who fear the Lord shall not lack or want for anything. Oh, I just pray that He would just draw us again and woo us and stir us to a place where our appetite for Him would be an unquenchable pursuit, just a strong desire. I don't like using the word lust, but it is the word lust. A strong desire that just can't be satisfied until it touches God again and is touched by God again. How many of you need His touch tonight? How many of you believe He's ready to touch you? He's ready. He's willing. He cares. He sees the condition that we're in. He brought us to where we are. We have a lot to be thankful for Him to bring us to where we are. But man, I just think we could do better getting out of the way. Just being more available to Him, more yielded. Just ask Him, what is the one thing He's spoken to you and made clear to you tonight? And say, you know what? I'm going to take that thing and obey. I just want to obey. I just want to step out of my comfort, my own comfort level. What I think I can and can't do. Well, this is how I am. It's not about how we are. It's how we've been called, who we've been called to be. And He's working in us both to will and to do. My thing is, I don't want to hinder Him. And I sure do at times. I don't want to hinder Him from doing whatever He wants to do in my life. Personality-wise, I like more demonstrative things. I like action. You know, I want to do big stuff. I have that side of me just ambitious and want to be great for God and do stuff for God. And It's been a process of learning to let God operate and work on the inside and let him bring to pass whatever he wants to do. And if he's not in it, I don't want it. And if you just remember us over the whole India thing, I'm sure Pastor will be the one to share, but just the whole India potential thing he has to pray about. If you just keep that lifted up in prayer for just Father's will. But we're getting closer to finding out some results here soon. So trust in him. All right. Let's pray. Let's close in prayer. He's good. Amen. He has been good to us. What do you think? Are you willing to start praising him tonight? Why not tonight? Why not right now? Just begin to thank him for how good he is, for who he is, for how many times he's delivered us. How many times in confusion did he bail you out? How many bondages have you had that he set you free from? How many times it seemed we were sliding the wrong direction and he set our course right again? How many healings have we experienced? How many little signs of confirmation where he affirmed his love, he affirmed your sonship, he affirmed his presence in our lives? How many times has he given us the privilege to reach another life for him, for his kingdom? Father, thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the bold access you've given us into your presence, that the veil's been rent now and we have access. Father, thank you. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord. Father, help us. Help us. Father, help us to praise you faithfully. Father, work in us to have thank. Give us that thankful heart, Father. By your Holy Spirit, work it in us, Father. Father, take apathy out of our lives and put a fresh fire and passion, a renewed love and vigor in our pursuit of you, Father, to discern the urgency of the hour, to be a people who make you big in this place, an environment of faith and praise and love for you and love for one another. That's the environment that you're manifesting and showing yourself mighty in, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing in our fellowship, Lord, in our lives, in our hearts. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord. You're worthy of praise. We delight in you, our God. We worship you for who you are. Father, I pray tonight that you would refresh your people, Lord. Strengthen their hearts. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, cause your face. Bless your people. Cause your face to shine upon them, Lord. Visit our lives. Let rivers begin to flow again, Father. Stir our hearts toward your presence, toward intimacy, toward sensitivity. Give us the victory in our battles with getting quiet and choosing you as the pearl of great price, choosing you as the higher priority when it's compared to lawful areas. Father, help us to get quiet and know your still small voice. There's nothing like hearing your voice. There's nothing that compares to being in your presence. There's nothing like communion with you. There's nothing like being used by you. There's nothing like when the pages of your word come off of this book and speak to our hearts by the power and revelation of the Holy Spirit, and we're confirmed and settled again in our faith, and our course is fixed again. Father, let our hearts be fixed tonight, Father. Oh, Lord, fixed upon you, Lord. You're greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you for all these things. We thank you so much, Father, for your goodness, the privilege of knowing you. Help us to stay small in our own eyes and to have that spirit of being the debtor, the one who's been forgiven so much, who's able to love you and love others much, because I realize and I haven't forgotten that I've been purged and forgiven of so much. Remove any scales or blindness from our hearts and minds, that we would get a fresh glimpse again of Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We worship you and give you the glory for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen. Turn to someone and say, yep, I believe the time is short.